Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. So on Sportsnet, Elliot Friedman broke down his 32 thoughts, and one of those thoughts is when it comes to UC Soros, there was a time it was 99% certain that he would stay in Tennessee. Now, people who know better than I do think it's closer to 50-50. Now, Elliot Friedman joins us now, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate your time at 1 o'clock on Thursdays. I wanted to address that with you. The tidbit about UC Soros being in Nashville is 50-50. From what you've heard, what has changed and what's the motivating factor for that? Why is it now 50-50 as opposed to maybe 90% a few months ago?
Well, I really thought that he, like, after Barry Trotz talked about Soros earlier in the year, he wasn't on my radar at all, Carolyn. Like, he really wasn't. And so I just kind of put it away. And all of a sudden, some rumors and reports started coming out. I didn't really think much about them. And then, you know, just some people started telling me that, you know, you should start paying attention. And, you know, the more calls I made, the more people told me that that it's possible. And, you know, I just think that we've talked about this a lot over the past couple of weeks. I think the Predators are looking for offense. I think they are trying to find offense. And I think what they are learning is that Soros may be the piece that is best positioned to get them an offensive player. So, you know, I don't know where this is going to go here. I have to admit, I'm still pretty surprised by it, really surprised by it, just because it's just a reminder, Carolyn, of how fast things can change in life. Because a few months ago, I never would have believed that this would happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, people who know better than I do say you better be looking into it because there's a possibility it could happen.
Do you think the price has changed? Because the last time we've heard from Barry Trotz about a UC Soros trade, it was, you're going to have to blow my socks off. You're going to have to blow me away. But now that maybe that landscape has changed, that it's now 50-50, UC Soros could be back, UC Soros might not be, do you think the asking price from Barry Trotz has changed?
No, I don't think it has. I still think that he wants to do he wants that target. But I think what happened is, I think one thing that's happened is that, you know, I think it shows the great respect that Soros has around the league. Like, he's got value. You know, and if you trade for a player like that, you get him for not only this year, a playoff run or a run, but next year too. And you can talk to him about an extension. So I think you can get more value for a guy when there's term, and there's not a ton of term, but there is term. Like I said, you get two tries with him. So I think that that increases a player's value. Plus, he's really good. I think he's a really, really talented player. And when you put talented players out there and say it's going to take talent to come back, people know not to fool around. Now, I think people still try to try to get the best possible deal they can and maybe pull the wool over your eyes a bit. But I think Trotz and his team and the Predators are too smart for that. And I think if anything, if he goes, it's going to be for a good player. I'd be surprised, honestly, Carolyn, if Soros got traded, I would be surprised if we wouldn't look at the deal and say, oh, I understand.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. Check it out. Now, Elliot, we had a discussion about UCs and what it would take. But then also, you know, a scar off the young goalie in Milwaukee. One, do you think it's changed because of how Askarov is playing in Milwaukee? He's dominating right now, so that may, you know, give Barry, a bit of pause on, you know, what it's going to take to potentially move Soros. And also, if they don't move Soros, how long can they go? Let's just say they don't sign Lincoln and back next year. How long can you go with a UC Soros and Askarov teaming up?
First of all, I think Askarov's arrival, I think Askarov's play this year has absolutely changed the equation. Mm-hmm. I do think that has happened, Derek. Look, like, there's nothing else for him to do there. They've won, I think I said, a million games in a row the other day. Like, they just cannot lose. And you reach a point where, you know, you say, what are we doing with this guy in the American Hockey League? He has earned his opportunity. And I think Askarov is getting there. By the way, I saw that they're giving out bobbleheads, I guess, next week of him pushing up the net. I think that is hilarious. That is a great idea.
Yeah, the bench pressing of the net. They've got him down. Oh, I've already gotten some texts from outside.
I love that idea. I think Milwaukee? That is a great idea. But I think Askarov absolutely changes it. You have to understand, like, I understand the DNA of your organization there in Nashville. Like, David Poile is not the GM anymore, but he's still a presence, and what he built there is a presence. And, you know, he was one of those guys, you go to the AHL, maybe a little bit longer than you need to, but when you come up here, you're ready. And I do think that Barry Trotz is going to put his own stamp on the organization, but I think he kind of thinks like that too. Based on everything that he has done this year, it's time. And I do think that has changed the equation. But look, honestly, Derek, if there's a situation where it's Soros and Askarov, I think that's really good. If you don't trade him and he stays and the two of those guys are together, I would be very happy with that if I was a Predators fan. I mean, there's still a difference, too, between being in the AHL and coming to the NHL and having to deal with that as the number one guy. Even if Soros isn't here next year and Askarov is, you're going to have someone with him who can help him shoulder the load.
And that's the point, before I pass it over to Willie, and that's the point that we were talking about, because we saw the progression with UC with Pecorine, and he played played as Pecorine's backup for some years until he ultimately took over. Yeah. So that's why I said, how long – and I didn't mean like a season. How long could they go with those two guys in net? Could it be two seasons? Could it be three? Could it be four?
I think you could go for as long as you wanted to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, the challenge is at some point what you're doing is you're hoping that Askarov becomes a guy. Well, nobody plays like Rene played. Nobody plays 65 games, 70 games anymore. But you are hoping that you can be with him, that he'll be eventually be the guy who plays 55 games. And, you know, at that point in time, if Soros is still really good, then you punt it down the road and you deal with it then. But, like, that's the way we think. That's not the way teams think. I guarantee to you that Trotz is looking at his goaltending puzzle and saying, okay, even if Askarov is here next year, how many games can we reasonably expect out of him? Can we really expect him to be the true number one right away? That's one thing they're asking right now. And if not, what's the ideal package? And maybe the ideal package is Soros stays, and Soros plays 55 games, and he plays 37. Like, if that happens, I don't think the Predators are going to be upset. But, the one thing is that, even if the kid is here next year, they're going to have somebody with him that can help him get through his first year. Like, it's like, if you ask a lot of goalies who play in the AHL, they will say on some level it is easier to play in the NHL than the AHL because the AHL is a bit more of a scrambly league. The NHL, the teams defend a bit better. Now here, everyone's a little bit of a better shooter. There's obviously more talent. The schedule is a bit more of a grind. But you're used to traveling by plane and not by bus, and a very nice plane. But there are goalies who will tell you, in terms of overall play, the NHL actually can be a little bit easy. That doesn't easier, but that doesn't mean you're ready for the grind of it.
Elliot Friedman is with us as we speak. Milwaukee is leading 2-0 with Askarov in net, early third period, looking for their 18th straight win. So. We're seeing the stock rise in real time here, at least for now. But Elliot, I think this is an interesting thing that we kicked around, and our listeners were weighing in heavily on this. I pointed out that Soros backed up Rene for three full years, three really good years, and I see the point. You're making the point that if somebody were to trade for Soros right now, you get him for two full playoff runs, right? So that's maybe the advantage of trading for him now, as opposed to in the summer or even if it went into next year. But I guess my point is, if you just laid out a good scenario that Askarov in theory could be the apprentice to Soros for a couple of seasons. So there's really no hurry. You're in a great leverage position if you're Barry Trotz. So you can sit back and be patient and wait for the perfect deal to come along. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes. Now, the only thing, Willie, that changes this dynamic is, you know, Soros is due an extension next year. Like, his contract is up. So I think, like, that's the only other thing that changes the equation, because now you have to make a deal with Soros. And, you know, like, obviously the Predators probably have an idea of what Soros is thinking, and they have to decide if they're comfortable for that. I have talked about this on your show before, that I think that is part of the equation here, is Nashville is looking at what the next contract is going to look like and deciding if they're comfortable with that.
Yes, that is a key piece of the equation for sure. Let's ask you about a couple other guys, Elliot, that I know you've been keeping tabs on. So you mentioned Tommy Novak, and we discussed this a few months ago, right before he got injured, which kind of set him back a ways. And now if you look at his last seven games, his offensive numbers are starting to come around. Yes, no question about it. There's no doubt he is unique because he's a late bloomer. And he's not the greatest player in his own end, but he's got skill, and that's hard to find. As you mentioned, that's what the Predators are looking for. So what do you think what's the latest temperature on what they're looking at with him?
Well, I know teams are looking at him, because when I make my calls right now, I get people ask me, what are you hearing on Novak? What are you hearing on Novak? So that's kind of what I wrote, why I wrote it, because I definitely think there's interest in him. Everything I have heard is that the Predators are trying to sign him, and they would prefer to keep him. It's kind of like what we just talked about with Soros. You have to get there, right? It's always a grind, and there's still a little bit of time. But I am under the impression that the Predators are trying to sign him, and they would like to sign him. And until I have any reason to believe otherwise, or that it's not going to happen, that is where I'm going. So I'm just leaving it there for now that it is the Predators' goal to sign him. Now, one of the things I've been asking people, I remember, Willie, you asked me a while ago, like, what is the range here? Like, because there isn't a lot of history there. And most guys seem to think it'll be in the fours. And that's a wide disparity. There's a big difference between, say, 4-1 and 4.75. But that's the number I seem to get. Now, I have to stress, that's not coming from the Predators. It's not coming from Novak's representatives. But I asked a couple of other teams, like, what do you think the ballpark here is? And that's kind of where it came in.
That's a really interesting number. And the term, of course, is part of the formula there, too. And
yes.
It's because the question I get asked a lot, and I think debatable, because we don't know the answer, is he a number two center on a winning team that can go deep into the playoffs, knowing that he's not a great faceoff guy, he's not a big guy. As you mentioned, like, the prototypical number one center, like a Barkov, can play anywhere, anytime, all situations, he's going to score. Novak is not that, but he's got a special offensive skill set. So what's the right budget for that? $4 million for some people might sound a little high on a winning team. And then there's the other part of he's doing well here. So is it worth in Nashville taking a little hometown discount, knowing that you fit somewhere in there?
Whereas you go into an unknown as
an overpaid guy.
I think there's a couple answers there. Number one, if the Predators have shown in the past, like guys like Colton Sissons, is that they'll give you term if you take a little bit less. And there are players, like a guy like Novak, who took a long time to peak, they tend to listen to that. So if you told me that Novak came in under that number because he took term, I would completely understand that. I have seen lots of players do that over the years. So that is definitely one thing. Now, the Predators have another advantage, no state tax in Tennessee. But one of the things that players do when that happens is they want guarantees, like no trade guarantees and things like that, because they don't want their contract to devalue if they happen to get traded to a place where the state taxes or the provincial taxes are more punitive. But those are the kinds of things that the Predators can do. I do think there's something to they know him and he knows them. I always think that that's an advantage. But the other thing about it is, like, a player like Novak, like, I think a lot of teams will say, it's not that we see him as our second-line center or our third-line center. I think teams are a bit different now in the sense that they talk about players like him as offensive players. You talk about putting him in a position where he can succeed. Like, you're right, he's not going to take a big D-zone draw, but he can score. And scoring in this league gets you paid. That's number one. And scoring in this league, although it sounds really stupid to say, I think sometimes people forget it, scoring in this league wins you championships. And when you have a team that's looking for offense, like Nashville is, I think there's a recognition that Novak is a bit unique, and he gives them something that they don't have a ton of. But so
agreed.
This is the push and pull of the negotiation. But like I said, the what I've heard is that the Predators intend to sign him, and that I think teams are asking about him. And I think the reason they're asking is they want to know if the Predators think they're actually going to be able to sign him, because, you know, he's going to have interest if they don't.
How about Alex Carrier? I'm hearing a lot about him right now.
Well, I think there's a lot of D out there. Like, teams are always looking for D, and Carrier's had a pretty good year. You know, it's been interesting. Like, Carrier, when that first year when he was on the when he was like an all rookie defenseman or right at that level, you know, people were really impressed. He signed with the Predators. It's kind of been up and down a little bit, but he's having a good year at the right time. You know, he's a solid player. He's a very, I've seen the word low maintenance to describe him, and you can't underestimate how much teams really like that. I think the issue with Carrier is that a lot of the teams that are trying to take the big swings, they're looking at the Hannafins and the Tanevs. So either you have to wait for that process to end, or you have to say, look, we're either not getting one of those two guys, or we can't afford to get one of those two guys, and we'll look at a Carrier. So I think he's kind of in that second tier behind the Tanev-Hannafin tier. And unless you're out of that race, he probably has to wait until that clears up first.
I agree. Low maintenance, no question. Great personality. He's got the intangibles for sure. What about Yakov Trenin?
Then he can't work in sports media if he's low maintenance. There's no room for those kinds of people.
That's right. What about Yakov Trenin, who's a guy that has got that sort of playoff profile, you know, physical?
Yeah.
Bottom six kind of guy, can kill penalties. What's the market for him?
Well, I haven't heard a lot about Trenin, so I'll ask around. I don't like you giving me all this homework, Willie. It's not fun. I got to play. I thought homework
got enough
over
on your plate, right?
When I got out of university, but I haven't heard as much about him. But I'll ask around. But again, like, he ran over someone the other night, right? So, like, people notice that kind of thing. He's tough. Like, he, as you said, he plays hard, and I would bet that there are people looking at him, because you can never have too many of that in the playoffs. But I confess, I haven't heard anything specific.
All right, Elliot Friedman is with us. Last one from me, Elliot. You know, I've seen a bunch of mock trades by some of your colleagues over at Sportsnet. This one is by Ryan Dixon, a potential trade between New Jersey and the Predators. So New Jersey would get Uzi Saros and Alexander Carrier. To Nashville,
yep.
Forward Dawson Mercer, defenseman Seamus Casey, a couple of goalies,
yep.
and that are on expiring contracts, Vitek Vanacek and Akira Schmid, and then also a 2025 first-round pick, top five protected first-round pick from New Jersey. Your initial thoughts on the mock trade?
Good job with the names.
Sorry, what's that?
Now I was telling Caroline, good job with the names. I like it.
Very, very good, Caroline. You know, I got to tell you, if that was on the table, I think Nashville would like that. Like that Dawson Mercer kid, he is really talented, really talented. He hasn't had a great year, but that happens sometimes. He's a really, really talented player, and he has – high respect around the league. Like, I think if the Predators made a deal and that was the kind of kid they got back, they would be very, very happy about that. Now, I will say this. I believe that, like, some of the teams that have been dealing with the Devils on other issues have asked about Mercer, and I believe they've been told no. So, but you never know what can happen, right? I know he's a player the Devils value. If he was on the table, I think that would excite the Predators a lot. You know, Casey, I haven't seen him a lot, but I've heard good things. But again, like, I don't watch the, like, Ryan, who wrote that, Ryan Dixon, he really watches the prospects a lot more than I do. I have enough to do at the NHL level, but I know he's a really talented kid. But I'll say this. If Mercer was available, there would be teams who would drive to New Jersey to go pick him up. So, if in some world that deal happened, I think the Predators would be very happy with that, and their fans would eventually be happy with that too, because Mercer is a real talented young kid.
Interesting. Well, Elliot Friedman, always appreciate your insight and always appreciate your time. Thanks for stopping by, Elliot. We'll chat next week.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. You too. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. We will react to what he had to say there. Interesting that he said yes to the potential trade. It leads me to believe that that's probably not on the table if that was a trade package that so many GMs in the league would be excited about. But I did want to get Willie's thoughts on Jerry Stackhouse's post-game comments last night. Vanderbilt hosted Georgia. Vanderbilt lost to Georgia by double digits. And Jerry Stackhouse had some interesting post-game comments last night, and we will react to that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.